The gold medal campaign for New Zealand's transgender weightlifter Laurel Hubbard has come to an end after she was forced to withdraw due to injury, but not before the Commonwealth Games Federation reiterated its support for her to compete in the first place. The Federation CEO David Grevenberg was at the event today. Welcome to the program.
Hi, it's great to be here.
What was the atmosphere like, David?
It was an amazing welcome, and I think Laurel in her kind of closing statements following her withdrawal said that it was just absolutely warm. She was a bit nervous on how she was going to be received, but, you know, it's called the Friendly Games for a good reason, and she said that it was just a fantastic welcome from the crowd, and she really felt supported just like all other athletes.
The footage of her injuring her elbow isn't easy to watch. It's not pretty. Do we know the extent of her injury?
No, I think what we do know is that she actually said that she believes it was a ligament, obviously after they take scans and assess it more, they'll know better.
Laurel's right to compete in the women's comp was very controversial. It was opposed by some other nations. Has this ever happened before in the Commonwealth Games?
You know, I think, on a sport-specific level, there's been various protests and so forth. I think, in athletics, which is not an issue regarding transgender athletes, but athletes with hyperandrogenism. For example, Caster Semenya from South Africa. There have been, I think quite a bit of debate and discourse around those athletes' right to compete. So it is a very topical and timely debate in a number of sports, but largely it's being taken on as a sport-specific eligibility matter.
But has anyone ever previously competed as a man and then competed as a woman or vice versa?
Again, this is not that I'm aware of in terms of the transgender history of the Commonwealth Games. So Laurel, I think, has broken new ground in this space and certainly in the sport of weightlifting.
Some critics, and obviously the people who contested, the countries that contested, so that she had a very clear advantage over the rest of the competitors. What do you make of that?
It's interesting. This is, we've been fairly consistent with how we approach sport eligibility, and that means sport-specific eligibility conditions. It really is on the onus of the sport and in the practice of their sport to determine the safety, the fairness, and can those rules or regulations be universally applied. And in the case of creating rules that constructively discriminate against a person and their participation, they need to obviously do research and have substantial evidence on safety, fairness, and of course the ability for such a rule to be universally applied. And so right now, weightlifting does not have any discriminatory or constructively discriminatory rules that would prevent Laurel from competing as a female. And so that's why she's eligible to compete. That's why she's and has had the right to compete through the International Weightlifting Federation's regulations.
The Federation's statement today says that if a sport wants to exclude a transgender athlete, they have to present evidence to support their case. I wonder, what kind of evidence do they have to produce, and what evidence could convince the Federation that it's okay to discriminate?
That's a really good question. We haven't been, I think, truly faced with, but I would say that there's definitely moving space here. One of the things, as I said, safety is paramount. So, if there's evidence that by this athlete or an athlete competing, for various genres, whether it be because of gender or age or the equipment that's being used in the case of some athletes that require an assistive or an adaptive device, we would obviously look at is there a good rationale or justification in terms of the safety for the individual and his or her fellow competitors. When it comes to fairness, it obviously depends on the nature of the sport. So, and what thresholds are used in that sport. So if it's a combat sport and there's strikes, or if there's throws, or if it is a lifting sport, or, you know, for example, a non-contact sport like athletics, track and field, you know, it would vary. So the fairness threshold is in particularly very sport specific. And then finally, can the policy be effectively administered across a number of nations consistently? And I think those are the real criteria that we would be looking at as the CGF, if someone wanted to essentially constructively discriminate in order to protect, you know, whether it's the integrity or legitimacy of their events.
But you expect that this is going to become a big issue for you increasingly now?
I think it's going to become an issue for a number of international federations, multi-sport games, you name it. I think, you know, people want the right to compete. You know, issues around self-determination and self-identification are becoming more paramount and being, I think, there's an enormous amount of public discourse around the world on these subjects. So I think it's forcing sport to probably talk more widely and openly about these issues, and, you know, certainly it's something that we've obviously taken a long and hard look at over the past 2 years.
Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
That's the Commonwealth Games Federation's CEO, David Gravenberg, joining us to talk about that issue. This is RN Drive.